This message was recorded at Leeds Vineyard during a Sunday morning service. Please feel free to copy it or forward it if it's helpful. We pray that it may be God's word in season for you today.
So, turn away in order to turn to. This morning I'm just going to be looking at a few things that I feel God's shown me. So, I'm one of the assistant pastors here, and some of you know me, some of you don't know me. But we've been here nearly two full whole weeks into 2020, and I'm curious as to whether you've set some goals, whether you've thought about things you want to achieve this year. Funnily enough, my two main goals are all to do with things that I'm going to turn away from and stop doing. So one is I'm going to stop worrying so much. I felt 2019, I just worried way too much, and I've decided I'm just going to trust Jesus, whatever. And stop going to bed so late, so that I can get up earlier. Anybody who knows me knows midnight is an early night for me. So I'm going to stop going to bed so late, so that I can get up even earlier and spend time with Jesus, more time than I normally do. So I'm having to put some of my old habits away to build new ones and make space in my life for the more of Jesus. So I'm just going to pray. Father, we pray that this year our goals will reflect more of wanting to pursue you and let you have more of our lives than about us self-helping. Jesus, we want to put our trust in you, and we want to put our expectation in you and what you can do in and through us. Amen. During the worship, I had a sense that God might have been speaking to some of you and you've got things you want to share. I just really want you to think about that, hold on to it, and ask that you bring it at the end. I'll give you some time for that. So I'm excited with what Jesus has been asking me to share this morning. For some, this morning's message will be affirming and encouraging. For others, you might feel a little unsettled, agitated maybe, as you sense you need to respond in some way. And for others, you're probably going to leave with more questions than you came, but that's okay. So my hope is that we will all leave this morning convicted, resolved that we will intentionally and purposefully follow after Jesus immediately and always, ready to turn away from all that occupies our energies, our money, our worries, our ambition, even our time, in order that we might turn and closely fall in behind Jesus. And we're going to read a little story. It's not a long one. As Jesus was walking beside the Sea of Galilee, he saw two brothers, Simon called Peter and his brother Andrew. They were casting a net into the lake, for they were fishermen. "Come follow me," Jesus said, "and I will make you fishers of men." And at once they left their nets and followed him. Going on from here, he saw the brothers, James, son of Zebedee, and his brother John. And they were in a boat with their father Zebedee, preparing their nets. And Jesus called them, and immediately they left the boat and their father and followed him. Last week, David introduced our theme of the year, Follow Me, as we turn our focus to being disciples of Jesus. So it makes sense that we start with an overview to following Jesus before turning to focus on the kind of key themes of being with Jesus, becoming like Jesus, doing what Jesus did. So next week, Alison's going to explore in detail why Jesus' personal invitation to follow him was so significant, so meaningful, so personal to each of the disciples. And it's going to be a good one. I've heard a sneak preview, so make sure you're here. But today, I want to explore the following questions. And let's look at them together. And I'd encourage you to just go away, mull over it, and think about this as you come into this new year of discipleship. So why does Jesus want these fishermen and ultimately us to follow him? Why does he want followers? And why did the fishermen choose to follow Jesus and then go on to invite others to follow him too? And why do we choose to follow Jesus? And how do we invite others to follow him? And all these questions, so many, and we're going to get through them. So what did it mean for the fishermen to become disciples? What did that mean for them? And what does it mean for us today? So I'm hoping that we can get a better understanding of the story of Jesus' calling the disciples and what it means for us. Are we ready? Everyone ready? Up for this? Shall we get going? Great. So, discipleship is everything Jesus taught. And despite everything Jesus taught and did, his consistent message was, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is near. It was the one thing that came out again and again and again, despite miracles, despite healings, despite all sorts of things happening, distractions, threats. That was his message. So Jesus stepped into a moment of history that was very complex. It was challenging. It was dominated by one of the most religious world systems ever. And it was an unsettled time. Actually, it's a bit like the intense political and religious world tensions we're experiencing now. And it was in this kind of environment Jesus' ministry rose up. The entire culmination and working out of the radical teachings and workings of Jesus resulted in him being hated by the religious and political leaders of his day and being nailed to the cross. They killed him because he was disrupting the norms. And this was all according to God's plan. Jesus knew he would die as a sacrifice for our sin and make a way for us to enter a relationship with Jesus and with God. Jesus knew that he was only going to be around in present form for a very short time, and so asked his disciples to continue to share the message of the gospel and go and make disciples in all nations. You see, Jesus was looking for people who would be willing to be molded and shaped by his love, and so being like him, they would make his presence known in his bodily absence. And by inviting others to follow, he was inviting us to extend the kingdom of God over the earth, and that Jesus' followers would carry his presence to everyone, everywhere, and in every way. So, the reason Jesus wants us to follow him is because he believes in us as his followers to lead others to also follow him, and to repent and turn away from their lives and turn towards walking a better way. So just like the disciples, we are asked to follow Jesus in being fishers of people. And I'm just wondering if we have fully understood our mandate as Jesus followers. I remember, and we're going back about 8 years ago at Carr Manor, Andy Larkin was sat, I was talking, he'd been done a man's weekend, he was chatting, and he just basically was talking on the Sunday, and he said, how many of you are evangelists? And one hand shot up, they stood up, and they said, right, come forward, we want to pray for you. And there were a couple of others, but there was one person I saw, they literally, straight off, I know I'm an evangelist. And that was Lucy Holt, and I was like, totally challenged. I remember thinking, how does she know that? I would love to be an evangelist, but I don't know that I am. Am I? And it was just, and Andy Larkin basically just rebuked us all and said, you're all evangelists. Whether you like it or not, you all are. Some people might have a special anointing, but you are all required to carry the presence of Jesus and make him known. So I'm grateful for Lucy because that challenged me that day and it made me respond. So let's reread it, Matthew 4, 18 to 20. Let's just do 18 to 20. And Jesus was walking beside the Sea of Galilee. He saw two brothers, Simon called Peter, and his brother Andrew. And they were casting a net into the lake, for they were fishermen. Come follow me, Jesus said, and I will make you fishers of men. We know why Jesus wants us to follow him. But why are the disciples so keen to obey him when he says, come follow me? They just get up and go. You see, I found it a bit disconcerting. I was thinking, why would four working fishermen leave their boats, their freshly caught fish, their loved ones, homes, immediately to follow a stranger? And did they just leave the fish rotting and their boats bobbing about in the water? And did they just not even say goodbye to their families and just go? Just to accept an invitation to go fish for men. I was thinking, well, what sort of person would encourage such a reckless and inconsiderate behavior towards their families? Unless there's some kind of backstory that we might have missed. And what if Jesus wasn't a stranger to the four men? What if someone had signposted Jesus, advise these men that they follow him, and that even then they were more ready to follow than the recount implies? So I did this bit of digging to find some answers from people who are scholars, people who know the Bible better than me, know more about Bible geography, the order of the Bible stories, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, and the timings of the events. And do you know what? To my surprise, I found Jesus was known to the disciples and that they were already his disciples. So for those of you who really want to study this and want to check out my facts, you know, you can either take a photo of the slide or you can ask me to email it to you and you can do your own research and go and study it. But for the benefit of everybody here, I'm just going to do a quick overview. So John the Baptist said of himself, "I am the voice of one calling out in the desert. Make straight the way of the Lord." In both Greek and Hebrew, the word way referred to the road. The tradition in the Middle East in biblical times is that the roads would be fixed and made straight for passing dignitaries. Shortly before a king or a dignitary would travel, a messenger would go ahead and tell people to make straight the way of the peak of the king, and people would go out to repair the road. But you see, these roads, they deteriorated so quickly, and anybody who's been out to Palestine will know this, that to repair them, that it's only going to last so long. So as John is saying, they would send this message out, literally just as the dignitary was about to pass. And so John is saying, as his messenger, that Jesus, the Messiah, is coming very soon. And John wasn't meaning the disciple had to literally repair the road ready for Jesus to walk on. He was using it as a metaphor, and he was saying they needed to prepare themselves and turn away from their sins and repent, which is turn away from the old and walk into the new, ready to follow. So John was preparing people to look out for the Messiah and to be ready to follow him. And Andrew, we read, was a disciple of John before he was of Jesus. After Jesus' baptism, John points out to Andrew who Jesus is and tells him, "That's Jesus, that's the one I'm talking about, go follow him." And so Andrew then runs and tells his brother, "Simon, come here." And they run back and they start to follow Jesus, and Jesus calls Simon Peter. And this all happens before Jesus has even set foot in Galilee and our story here. So therefore, we know Peter, Andrew, Philip, Nathaniel began to follow Jesus before John the Baptist was arrested and before the moment of our story this morning. And they followed Jesus because John told them who he was and they had prepared themselves to follow. And because James and John were fishing partners with Peter and Andrew, it's really likely that they also knew Jesus and they were his followers too. So John had introduced the disciples to the idea of Jesus coming. He had also taught them what the Messiah would want of his followers: a change of heart, a turning away from their old lives. And then when the opportunity came, he signposted them directly to Jesus. And at this point, they encountered Jesus for themselves and chose to follow him. And I'm wondering, aren't we just the same? All of us are following someone or something. And it's easy for us to guess, isn't it, who and what we follow by how we prioritize our time, our energy, where we use our influence, our money, and what we talk about most often. Social media also exposes who and what we're following. And just as easily as we choose to follow some, we choose to unfollow others. And when I was growing up, I remember my mum would often criticize my dad, grumbling and recounting to us girls all the things he'd done over the years that were wrong and how awful he'd been. And over the years, this had a really sad repercussions for us. It meant that we found following our mum difficult because we weren't really sure she was really for us. And then it developed a kind of mistrust in our father and an inclination not to follow him. But you see, when I had my own children, I wanted them to grow up believing their father was trustworthy and reliable and fun to follow. And so when they were little, I developed this little habit of lining up to greet their dad when his car pulled up on the drive. And when he came in, we'd all cheer and jump up and down, and the girls would leap into his arms and say, "Daddy, we love you, we missed you, and isn't it amazing?" And And it was all just a bit of fun. But over the years, I've loved watching our children grow in relationship with Ian. And they do trust him. And they believe the best of him. And I'm mostly obedient and respectful. But I like to think I've helped my children to follow Ian well. So how are we helping others to follow Jesus? And what does our recommendation to others to follow look like? Later in the year, we'll be unpacking how we commit to this. But we are called to make Jesus known, and what we say of him and those who follow him will have impact on how easily and readily others will choose to follow him. So within each of us, there's this deep desire for wholeness and connection with others. But even deeper, there's this heartache to be connected to something, someone that gives us purpose and meaning. And that yearning is a God-given design to long for Jesus. We all choose to follow people, activities, and habits that make us feel most alive. Or maybe we see somebody who's got an inspiring lifestyle or achievement that we want to replicate. Our choosing to follow someone is always based on an introduction or an encounter, exposure to someone we find attractive. But there is this choice we will make. Will we follow or are we not? And who was the person in your life? Who was John the Baptist telling you the way you should go and who to follow? And who are you, John the Baptist, too? We often miss that we have been hardwired to follow Jesus, and no person, no amount of wealth or stuff or influence or self-help is ever going to satisfy, and we only have to watch the news or scroll through social media to know that's true. So take a moment now, right now, and think, what is it that first drew you to follow Jesus? What did your response look like? Did you consider what following Jesus for the long haul might mean for your life? Or maybe you're here and you don't follow Jesus, but you followed someone in here today and you're actually wondering, why am I here? So just take a moment, either quietly to yourself now and think that through, or turn and talk to somebody. So how did you come to follow Jesus? Do you follow Jesus? Just a minute now, go. You can do it quietly on your own, no pressure. Okay, so it might be some of you have never decided to follow Jesus and you just do this because this is what you do and this is what you were always taught to do. But I'm certain that most of you at some point had the invitation of Jesus put to you like this. Now, maybe the images aren't the same as something you've seen, but I am pretty certain you will have had the gospel shared to you in this way. I'm going to show you a 3-minute way to share the gospel, and we'll talk about it afterwards. So, originally there was God's design, and we can see beauty and purpose and evidence of design around us. The Bible tells us that God originally planned a world that worked perfectly, where everything and everyone would fit together in harmony, and God made each of us with a purpose, and that purpose was to worship him and to be with him. But sadly, sin entered the world, this beautiful creation, and the world became just full of this brokenness. So God sent his son, Jesus, who was perfect and obedient in every way, but was still a man. And he came to die and pay for our sin through death on a cross. So through Jesus, we can turn away from our sin and say sorry and choose to follow Jesus. And when we choose to follow Jesus and repent of ignoring God, we can be made new and become part of God's family. But once we've been made right with God, he asks us now to go back into the broken world with Jesus and to tell others about him and invite them to come follow Jesus too. And it's at this point, I'll show them this image. When I'm talking with somebody, and I do this with people, and I'm talking to them, I'll show them this image and I'll just say, where are you in the picture? Where are you in the picture? Take a look. And then, we're at this point. We're faced with a decision. Will we choose to follow Jesus, or are we not going to follow Jesus? Maybe you're sat here this morning and you're thinking, I've never actually said I want to follow Jesus. Or maybe you're thinking, I need to choose to follow Jesus again because I've messed it up. So let's just take a pause, a minute, and give you a chance to say that you want to follow Jesus now. So I'm going to ask us all to bow our heads, close our eyes. I'm going to say this prayer in phrases for you to repeat after me. But I want you to close your eyes so that those that want to say this either for the first time or re-say it and say, actually, I'm doing this again, Jesus, because I really want to get right with you. And I just ask, as we're praying it, just put your hand up so I can see, and then I'll just make sure somebody prays with you at the end of the service. So close your eyes, put your hand on your heart, and repeat after me. And don't forget to put your hand up to let me know. Jesus, thank you for making a way for me. I have done many things wrong, and I've been going my own way. I turn from ways and choose to follow you. Come fill my heart with your presence and your love. I give my life to you. Amen. Thank you for those of you who were very brave. I've used this twice in this last month, and one person chose straight away, yes, I need to follow Jesus, and prayed the prayer. The other person said they wanted to keep the image and think about it. They needed some more time to reflect. And I'm just wondering, if each of us tried to tell two people about Jesus by the end of the January, just using this or your own kind of way of doing it, would we be surprised at how many people are actually ready to say yes to following him? Now, the Bible doesn't show Jesus inviting them to follow him in this way, nor does it have a model for this type of prayer. But over the centuries, we have developed prayers like these as a response to Jesus' call to repent, for the kingdom is near. And in order to turn to Jesus and his kingdom, we need to first turn away from our will to live our lives independent of him and out of our own self-sufficiency. But if these people, these disciples, were already following Jesus, why does he invite them to follow him again? At the time, there were people who would follow kind of by association. So there was the rabbi, their disciples, and then people who kind of tagged along, who weren't really disciples, but they wanted to follow and find out what was going on. And then there were disciples that would have been like part-timers, so they worked part of the time, and other times they kind of joined in and listened to the disciple or the rabbi. And then there was the full-time disciples who just quit everything, left their families, left their homes, left their jobs, left everything to walk full-time with the rabbi to learn from him. And so at this point in our story, the disciples were likely part-time disciples, sometimes fishing, sometimes with Jesus. And here Jesus is calling them to intensify their discipleship. And then, which at this point, when he says, come follow me, guys, come follow me, they're thinking, right, we need to go, quick, let's go. But even then, they still continue to be fishermen, and we can read later in the Gospels, they're out fishing at other points in the story. But the final time we see Jesus call Peter and the other fishermen is in Luke 5. So if you turn to Luke 5, Jesus has taught from the boat. And then he takes the disciples fishing. And as they go fishing, they've been fishing all night, they haven't had any fish. He says, swing your nets over the other side. And they just catch this massive haul of fish. And it terrifies Peter, who's an experienced fisherman. That's that many. And then what? Look at Luke 5, Luke 5, verse 10. Then Jesus said to Simon Peter, don't be afraid. From now on, you will catch men. So they pulled their boats up on shore, left everything, and followed him. Now the language has changed from our Matthew story. We are now hearing Jesus say, right, literally, this is serious now. Lay everything down. I need your full attention. Come with me. You're no longer fishermen, but you are fishers of men. In this instance, I'm certain that that great quantity of fish was a prophetic statement. Not only was Jesus reassuring the disciples that he would provide for the needs of their families, but it was also a sign of the impact that they would have on the growing numbers following Jesus. And the closing statement that they left everything and followed Jesus probably didn't mean that they left a ton of fish rotting on in the heat. It's more likely that they were distributed by the remaining fishermen and between their families and sold as usual, and their boats left to business partners and other fishermen to continue the business. These ancient Galilean boats, I'm told, were likely 27 feet, that's over 8 meters long. They were 7.5 feet wide, which is over 2 meters wide. And I just have a little suspicion it took more than two men to manage those boats when they were fishing. So when Jesus calls us now to be his followers, what does it mean for us? Maybe for some of us it means leaving our ambition and our potential earnings and to come in as pastoral staff serving Jesus with all our available time. And for others of us it may mean we stay at home and we raise our families and we care for our elderly relatives. And for others it's to continue to work and rise into positions maybe of significant leadership and influence in our workplaces. Or maybe we're just committed to serving coffee with a smile and brightening someone's day. Wherever we find ourselves, whatever God has called us to, wherever he has put us now, is that place where we prepare the way and say, Jesus is coming. Are you ready? But I think wherever we are as disciples, it can be summed up in the verse that David gave us last week, which was Matthew 16:24. I am coming into land, don't worry. Then Jesus said to his disciples, if anyone would come after me, he must deny himself, take up his cross and follow me. For whoever wants to save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life Okay. Then Jesus said to his disciples, if anyone would come later, he must deny himself, take up his cross and follow me. For whoever wants to save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for me will find it. So Ian's come to do a demonstration. And if you see, if we take Ian and his life and his family. So we've got a family, we've got all our commitments. I've actually a lovely little diary here with all our lovely family, all the things that we do. Loads of stuff going on in our family in a week. Ian has to carry all that. He has his hobbies. He loves playing, like watching the football and the sport. He's an incredible musician, loves playing worship, but he loves to gig out and wig out a few times as well. And do you know, he just looks over all our finances. He's kind of budgeting, checking we've got enough money to pay bills, save for holidays, and all that. And he's kind of doing all that. And then on his back, this is all his work. He has to go out to work. He works full time at the university. He carries quite a lot of responsibility, trying to make sure that all the electricity's working, all the plumbing, everything. He's just got loads. And what you don't know, but I know about Ian, is that he has some really significant stresses in his life right now, and that there's things that he's carrying that are heavy to his heart, and he's got to carry that as well. And I don't know about you, that's a lot, okay? And all of you are the same. You've all got your equivalents. You've all got everything. And what Jesus says is actually, let me take all this from you. I've got this. You don't need to worry about it. Trust me, I'm looking after all this. And he asks us to put it all down, not to lose it, not to, like, it's lost. He doesn't mean lose it, like, forget about it. He's just saying, leave it with me. You don't have to carry it. I'm carrying it. But what I do want you to do is go and pick up your cross. And your cross, the cross signifies, what did Jesus do on a cross? He laid his life down that we might know God. And he's saying, with all your stuff of life. Just lay it down. Leave it with me. And let me carry the cross. Lay your life down. And as he's carrying that cross, if someone sees you, not literally carrying a cross, metaphorically carrying a cross, you are making a way and preparing the way and telling them about Jesus. So, Jesus asks us to follow him, to lay our lives down, that we might make a way for others to know him and be saved from their sin. We're here to make Jesus present on earth, and that is why we're called to follow him. We are to make Jesus known, to point to the one who can save. We are to extend the family. When I say family, I look out at every one of you, and I may not know every one of you, but I absolutely love you. I know that. I cry tears over you when you're sad. I pray for you. I want to get to know you better. I grieve over the fact that I don't have time to give you in the way that I would love to. And there's so many of you, but you are precious, and you are all part of God's kingdom. And even if you're here this morning, you haven't chosen to follow him yet, I really believe you will, and I long for you will, because I want you to be part of this family. So today, Jesus is calling us, come follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. So look again at this image. Where are you in the story? How will you intentionally follow Jesus back into the world and make him known? What do you need to turn away from so that you can turn to? Okay, let's stand.